You wrote a book, If God Is Good, right?
Yeah.
That one. Could you talk briefly as we wind things down about that book? And on a personal note, I'll just share how much it meant to me and my wife. Timothy, our youngest son, is 2, and we just had one of those great moments at the doctor when they're saying that the cancer could be gone, and it's incredible. And the doctor was said, dare I use the word cured, and that's wonderful and beautiful, but God was still good even when he was diagnosed with the cancer, and we're thankful. But I remember a mentor, it was my pastor at the time as well, a dear friend still, and one of our contributors on For the Gospel, Tony Wood, gave my wife and I that book, and it's got a sort of a rose, a flower on the front, and I remember looking at that, and it was our textbook to sort of walk us through. And we had lots of people. One family member said, that's what happens if you touch the Lord's anointed, or this is what we were worried about if you come against, anointed healers and God's anointed. He didn't strike you with cancer. He actually went after your kid, which is even worse. Now you have to watch him suffer, all that stuff. That book, brother, it was a nuke of truth that eradicated much of the enemy's lies. Can you talk about where that book came from as we wind things down and what its purpose is?
Yeah, and that rose that's on the front, has some pretty prominent thorns on the stem. Mm. And that's we see the thorns, and you can focus on the thorns and you can focus on the rose. And God is bringing this beautiful rose out of this thing that has thorns and has to be, handled and approached with care. I wrote that book as many of the books that I've written because I wanted to learn more. And one of the great things in writing, If God Is Good, and then there are, and I always do this, I'll have one big book. It's like I have one heaven book, then I have about 6 smaller heaven books of different sorts, 50 Days of Heaven, and there's a little heaven booklet, and there's Heaven for Kids, and all of that. And then I've got If God Is Good, and then I've got a small booklet called If God Is Good, and I've got The Goodness of God, and I've got 90 Days devotional book, 90 Days of God's Goodness, because, you want to get the same message to people in different forms and change it to fit your audience. But with the original, If God Is Good, the thing that I wanted to do was not only read all, and I did read virtually all, and there are a lot of them, all the books dealing with the problem of evil and suffering, but I also wanted to interview people that I know who have been through great suffering. And so I interviewed Johnny Erickson Tata, and I interviewed Daryl Scott, whose daughter Rachel was killed in the original Columbine school shooting. I interviewed people who I interviewed the family who had was it 6 children who died in a terrible van accident. He was a pastor. I interviewed them, and I interviewed all of these people. And I wanted to hear their stories, and I wanted to hear their tone of voice, and people who live in different parts of the world, survivors of some of the massacres in Africa, the killing fields in Cambodia. And what struck me was at the same time I was reading people, Bart Ehrman's book called God's Problem. The problem of evil and suffering, that's God's problem. That's why we can't believe in God. And I thought, and he's talking about why he rejects belief in God. And one of the, in his case, one of the many reasons, unfortunately, is that he looks at the evil and suffering in the world. And if there was a good God, these things could not exist. But what struck me as I was interviewing all these people, and I talked about it, and If God Is Good, is we have all these people who are rejecting the gospel supposedly because a good God couldn't allow all this evil and suffering. Yet, when you go to the parts of the world with the most evil and suffering, parts of Africa, parts of Asia, China, different places in the world, Obviously, we saw this in the realm of Romania and the old Soviet Union, and at times when huge growth of the church in the midst of what? Persecution. People being killed, people dying in prisons and going hungry and all the terrible things that happened. And the ratio of people who believe the gospel and embrace the gospel is much higher in those places than it is in places of like post-war Europe and even current America, where prosperity has been greatest. In other words, if it takes being prosperous to have a faith in the goodness of God, then you would think that America's faith would just be getting bigger and bigger until recent times. Actually, since COVID, I've had several people tell me, Greg Glorious told me this, and it's been true in the Luis Palau organization, the people who you know, call this number to hear the gospel, call this number for hope, call this number to reach out, it's gone way up. It goes way up when times are worse. So when times are best is not when people believe in God. So if the gospel is something everybody needs, wouldn't it make sense that God wouldn't just insulate us in our independence and we've got what it takes, but he would prepare us for eternity by waking us up. We've got to get right with God. Well, if that reason alone, and there are many other things dealt with in the book, but for that reason alone, and then I would say the one chapter, I'll just mention the title, Jesus, the only answer who is bigger than the question. And I think that's really true. The question, why would a good God allow all this terrible evil and suffering in the world? There are no easy answers to that, and the only answer bigger than that question is Jesus himself and what he did for us. He didn't have to. He did it for us. And by the way, the greatest evil and suffering in all human history taken on himself by the Son of God out of God's love for us.